It was a couple of conversations on Wednesday, and the conversations were really about, you know, why were we chosen and are we worthy and, you know, all of those doubting things that we go through in any part of our life. And I immediately, as we was, I was speaking with both Doris and Alicia, and the hymn that came in my head immediately was, "Spirit of the Living God, breathe afresh on me." This has got to be the shortest hymn in hymnal history. It was originally written in for a 1926 by a gentleman by the name of Daniel Iverson. Though he was born in Georgia, he died in Asheville, North Carolina in 1977. Then, around 1978, someone decided to add another verse. And it's still very short. But I thought, well, let me just write a little introduction that really kind of pertains to those questions that we ask ourselves about, you know, are we worthy? And you may have to deal with the frogs today. We've got some frogs out there.
Again, another beautiful number from Connie. We're so blessed. And now at this time, it's time for our speaker, our very own, our Reverend Connie Beth Grady.
Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful day it is. What a beautiful day after such a stormy day yesterday. After filled full of rain and darkness, and then the light came out, it's kind of symbolic of how we go in cycles in our life. The storms come, we hold on, and you know there's a saying, it's always darkest just before the light. or the storm gets worse, and then it leaves, and then the peace. In thinking about what to speak about today, I've been thinking a lot about my past. I've been thinking a lot about my children and the experiences of what's going on in 2014 on planet Earth. We spoke all last year about how the negative things are surfacing and how what we focus on is first and foremost in our life. We say that we know about love and we know about life and we walk. And what happens when the school of hard knocks starts hitting us again? Well, I'm so very blessed because every morning at 7:30, from 7:30 to 8, I have a daughter in Evansville who calls me every morning at 7:30. Sometimes she tells me her discontents, but most of the time we have kind of like a metaphysical class. It helps her because there's not much there in Evansville, Indiana, and it helps me just for the day. When you're close to someone in your family who is metaphysical, you can just lay it all on the table. They've lived through it with you. But she was having some difficult times in her life. Things weren't quite going right. And you know, sometimes when things aren't going right out there, it's because something's not going right in here. And when things aren't going right in here, to the point that we can no longer be ourselves, that God self, that personality, that great goodness and that innocence that we were born into, when something in life happens about, around and about us that we can no longer see that, it's like we can't breathe. It's like something's gone wrong in our life and we don't know what it is. And so therefore the connection that we're used to, that God connection, that connection of inspiration and answers begins to static. And we don't have the answers that we're used to. Well, that kept up just a little bit. And then I started thinking, and I told her, I said, you know, Katie, you can't breathe. That's what's wrong. You're breathing with your physical body, but you can no longer breathe right now, that spiritual light, because it's your focus is not there for some reason. In class on Wednesday, little Jennifer that was just up here gave me a message for her. And it was, there was an iceberg, and a piece of that iceberg broke off. And it was almost as though she were alone. And I think the message was she was going to be all right. I can't remember, but yes, she was saying. So she called me the next day, and it was a little late. And they were having a principal's meeting. She's a principal. And she called me later on that night, absolutely devastated, because her school had been chosen to, in a negative way, because basically they were being too enlightened, too positive, too creative, instead of teaching by the test. She called me and she was so embarrassed. And I said, Katie, I know in my life, and I do know in my life, you see, the only way to get rid of our hurts and our discontents is through the law of forgiveness. And sometimes when we're tiny little children, we're really hurt or told something that absolutely destroys us, and we soon lose our innocence, and we forget who we are, that beautiful breath of God, that child of God that was born in love, or born in some capacity that we wanted to learn or earn something. I said, you know, Katie, when I was a little child, True story. I was lied upon by people in the church. I felt so unworthy. As a child, how are you going to defend yourself? There's no defense against the liar. I heard that, and I knew what that meant after that. And so I kind of withdrew and just went on and lived my life. Approximately every 5 or 10 years after that, something would come up where someone would say an untruth about me, always in a religious setting. And there again, I would be destroyed for a little bit. And I would think, but that's not true. Why would they think that of me? The truth of the matter is, I thought that of me. I was vibrating that because when it first happened, there was something within my belief system that I believed that unworthiness. And only till I started really studying metaphysics and understanding the patterns of my life did I realize I thought I had forgiven the most recent. But guess what? I had not gotten to the root cause that started when I was only 6 years old. When I realized it was that root cause of that belief system, I was still vibrating that. So, of course, through the law of attraction, another experience came. But you know, since I've had that discovery, and since I've done that work of forgiveness, since I've been thrilled with the lessons learned from that, that has not happened in many years. You know, it's sort of like life. When I grew up, people didn't have, not too many people, only the very wealthy had swimming pools. We did not live around an ocean or a lake, so I had never gone swimming. And the place where we were living, my father was a Methodist minister, and we had just moved there. And summer camp was on Lake Webster in Indiana. Well, I never had a bathing suit. My mother didn't know how to swim, and she made all my clothes. So she was not thinking about what she was doing, I know. She made me the cutest little swimsuits. One was hot pink and one was turquoise. I'll never forget them. I was really cool in my first swimsuits, but they were made out of terry cloth. Now, do you know what terry cloth does when it's wet? It becomes very heavy. So here I am trying to walk in the water, and a wave came up, and I was petrified of the water. Absolutely petrified. When along came my older brother, and he said, "You have to get in the deep water." "Yes, I see you're afraid. You can't stand up in the water. Let me lead you in the water where that bathing suit no longer will be heavy." And because of the laws of flotation, I will put my arms under you. And I will catch you. I want to teach you not to be afraid of the water. Well, you see, we have that gift of protection. But sometimes we don't realize it because of the fears. When we have the fear in our life and we haven't done something about it and looked at it for what it is, instead of breathing normally when we're in that fear state, it's like we're breathing in a panic. As long as we're breathing in a panic, we've forgotten who we are, and we've forgotten that breath of God. We've forgotten that breath of the laws of protection around us and the laws that no matter what, we're going to be all right. Sometimes, because of fears, we try to control the situation around us. Sometimes, because of our fears, we try to control the people around us, because what we think that we have the right to tell them what they need to do. Now, if any of you have ever heard Dr. Phil speak, he'll say, "How's that working for you?" Because it never works. It never works because we're looking at someone else's fears. We're looking at our fears. We're forgetting about the love and the substance that we came into this body with, that spiritual substance that Jesus spoke about. That spiritual substance when he said, "The same Father or the same essence lives in you that lives in me." When we forget who we are and we face those negative things, we've closed the door to our spiritual breath. Now, are there any mistakes? Not really. Because those mistakes that we made that brought our discontents are the very thing that eventually made us cry out. And I know when I first cried out and things were not working for me, the first thing I said was, "Dear God, or anybody else out there that might can hear me, or any other God or anything, please help me." I tell you, if you don't believe in guidance, have a prayer like that. Or if you've had a prayer like that, look at what changed in your life, one situation after the other, to lead us into the light. You know, one thing I'm so very thankful about is that for so many years, I got to hear the voice of Spirit through my teacher, Virginia Falls. And they spoke about that which we fear we cannot love. It's totally impossible. Most of us, if we went to any church, learned that God is love. Well, in reality, whatever we think it is, it is. So if somebody tells us a belief that it's fear, then we run from that very thing that other people love. I don't know if you ever ran from God, but I did at one time, because I thought if he's that kind of a vengeful God, as I've been told, I don't want anything to do with him. I don't need that in my life. When I got into metaphysics and you understand the laws of life, when you understand natural law, you begin to awaken to life as it is, because it gives you the principles of how to think, how to breathe, how to open the door to our own divine essence. And when that power of love begins to surface in your life, it begins to flood our thinking in a new way, in a new vision, in a new way of breathing, in a new way of seeing. But I hate to say this. Sometimes I don't speak all my truth, because in every denomination, in every aspect of life, there is still superstition. And in all of my dealings with spirit, the first thing I ask them, "What about the devil?" Because I knew what my aunt used to tell me. I knew what my friends used to tell me about the devil. They spoke about the Battle of Armageddon. And they spoke about our higher self, our God self. And they spoke about our lower self, that physical self that maybe sometimes does some things that you know consciously you shouldn't do, maybe little things or big things? It's called our higher self, our spiritual self, and our lower self. And every day we make choices with our actions, and we make choices with our thoughts as to which aspect we're going to live in that day. God is love. God, essence, when we open that door, is protection. It's contentment. But yet in metaphysics and spiritualism, I hear all the time about evil spirits. I hear all the time about attachments. That which you believe, so it can be. However, I never heard anything other than the attachment of illness, the attachment of wrong thinking because of our choice. Have I been ill? Absolutely, I have. How did I get that illness? I was exposed to chemicals. But you know, had I been thinking right and living right and hadn't been run down, I might not have been, it might not have affected me. Because as we think and live and love and have our being, that's our protection. And sometimes we have experiences that when we know and have felt that warmth of that living breath, we can hold on to that without fear. We can hold on to life without fear. In walking in illness with my friends who are not metaphysical, that have been given life experiences, sometimes in their thinking, it's almost in a self-destructive way because they hold on to the negative things. They hold on to the possibilities that there could be a creative answer. There are many changes taking place on the earth plane today. There are many people awakening in every religion today. But there are also many people living in fear today. And because of that fear, their lives don't seem to be going in the way we might wish they could. We all have come here, I believe, many times. We all have experiences in life. And as we grow in love and understanding, perhaps it's because we have awakening at this lifetime, because it's time for us. But in this new vibration of energy, if we keep our eye on the prize, there are many wonderful discoveries going on right here, right now, today. There are many wonderful discoveries in science, in religion, in spirituality, in communication, in the arts. There are many wonderful, inspirational things that are happening that show us the light and give us a direction on where to go. But when we live our truth, when we live our life to our highest standards, that door of the heart opens and it warms us from the inside out so that we no longer have to walk in the fear. And when we're faced with a new challenge and we hold on to those principles that have held us up before, then we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our todays, our tomorrows, can be even more beautiful than our yesterdays. With challenges, yes. And instead of judging someone next door to us, we don't know what their life path is. We don't know what their need is, for their spiritual need and their physical need. It's time for us to respect where they are so that we can keep moving forward in the light. God bless you.